The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. Good morning, and welcome to College Mennonite Church worship on this warm July Sunday morning. Welcome to you gathering by various forms of technology, and welcome to those of you gathered here in this worship space. If you are a guest here with us, we hope you will let those around you know who you are so you can be personally welcomed, but welcome to you as well. I invite you to join with me in our call to worship printed on the front page of your bulletin. We who gather this morning are intricately connected with all people of the world through our Creator. Estamos conectados a otros a través de Dios el Creador. We come to worship our Creator. Venimos a adorar a nuestro Creador. Con la tierra, along with all the earth, we cry out for the saving power of Jesus Christ. Clamamos a Jesucristo a que nos salve. We come to see Jesus Christ. Venimos a ver a Jesucristo. We want to be animated by the Holy Spirit, animados por el Espíritu Santo, to seek justice for the earth and all its people. Buscamos la justicia para la tierra y para todas las personas. We come to breathe in the Holy Spirit. Venimos a respirar el Espíritu Santo. I invite you to turn in your blue hymnal worship book to number 371. Let there be light, Lord God, and please stand as you are able. Come now to a time of corporate prayer for our church family, community, and world. Among those we pray for today are Savannah Friesen, who will be leaving soon for a time of service in Northern Ireland, Belfast, Northern Ireland, at Quaker House. upon Savannah's return, she'll be sharing with the congregation. Please join me in praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ, along with other concerns and joys of our hearts. Let's pray. Gracious God, who reaches out to us in the shadows of the night and in the responsibilities and joys of each day, we give you thanks for your ongoing presence with us. We bring before you those in special need of your care and love. We ask you to surround those who are facing challenges of the body or in the midst of a healing process. We remember especially today Jeff Landis and Liz Gundon, as Jeff is healing following surgery to repair a detached retina. God, you know the challenge it is to have to stay lying face down for most of the hours of the day. We ask you to grant Jeff extra measures of patience and encouragement. We pray also for Mary Bontrager as she recovers at home following a few days in the hospital. Give her renewed strength. And we also ask you to pour out your encouragement upon Liz Jacobs as she deals with health issues. We continue to remember and lift to you Caleb Ganawan and family, giving thanks that Caleb has been able to be at home and enjoy baking this week. We ask you to continue to guide Martin and Chica as they parent and care for Caleb, Matthew, and Maura. God, we pray for those preparing for surgery. We ask your guiding hand for surgeons, nurses, techs, and other medical personnel working with each person. Gracious God, we also thank you for the safe return of our high school youth and adult delegates and others who attended Mennonite Church USA Convention. And we also ask for your traveling mercies for Savannah. Give her courage and strength as she travels to Northern Ireland and serves in your name. God, we thank you for your work in our daily lives and in our faith journeys. We give thanks for a community where we seek to share our journeys together and how you have been at work amidst us. We thank you for the ways that you have been at work in David and Sophie's lives, and we are thankful that they can be with us to share from their experiences. Bless them and bless us through their presence. God, we continue to always lift up those who grieve, whether here in our midst or afar. Walk alongside, bring your strength and comfort. We indeed pray for those close to us here in this church body, in our families, in our community, but we also pray for those in far stretches of your world, for those who are suffering, both near and far, those who are in need of your hope and peace. Guide amidst extremism, God. Be close to the brokenhearted. Embolden peacemakers. Give your wisdom to those who lead and have the power to effect change. And in the same breath, God, we ask you to embolden us and guide us in our daily walk with you. Gracious God, there are many we have not mentioned today, and we entrust each of the unspoken requests into your care as we pray all of this together in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to turn in your Sing the Journey to number 12, O Sing Unto the Lord. And children, you are invited to come forward as we sing today.
The first time we will all sing the English. Second time through, everybody try singing the Spanish. The next time through, both words will be up there for English and Spanish. You choose which one. Also for the following verse, you choose which language you wish to sing. But this time, all in English.
Good morning, children. Did you have more?
Oh,
okay. Technology sometimes gives us a little bit of trouble, even though it's very good. Well, good morning, children. I would like to invite Mark and Fern and Baby Dakini forward if they're here. Hopefully. No, they were trying to get here. Well, this morning, our plan is to dedicate a new baby in our midst, and her name is Dakini Rose. And we'll just wait a little bit here and see if she's coming forward. Okay, do you see anyone? All right. Well, I think let's, instead of praying at the end of our children's time, let's pray here at the beginning. And I invite you to open your hands and look up this morning. Okay. Gracious God, we thank you for this day. This beautiful July day, and we thank you for children and new babies, and we ask that you help us to continue to be a welcoming church family for new little ones who are just born, little ones who are learning to walk, young ones who are learning to read, We just thank you for all the young energy in our midst. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if we don't have a baby to dedicate right now, we will do that a bit later. So I'm going to invite Rosemary up, and we'll go ahead and sing, and you can get your worship bags and head back to your seats as we sing.
In the Sing the Journey, number 73, The Lord Lift You Up, this is the dedication song.
We'll sing that song again after the sermon today, but I would like to invite David and Sophie Lapjost forward. They are going to offer our scripture and message today. We're thankful to have them with us. Let's pray a prayer of blessing for them. Loving God, thank you for David and Sophie, for their time of service and work for you. Open our minds and our hearts as they share with us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our scripture today is Acts 2, 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'People of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. And the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Good morning. We're so happy to be back here with you today. If I cry, it's just because I'm happy. We've looked forward to sharing with all of you about our experience living and working in Nazareth this past year. Nazareth is the largest Arab city in Israel, and we volunteered in several ways for an organization called the Nazareth Trust. We both felt drawn there through past connections. I was born and lived in Israel-Palestine as my parents served there with Mennonite Mission Network, or Mennonite Board of Missions, and then MCC for my first 6 years. David's great aunts were also, who were from Pennsylvania, served with MCC in Hebron for 37 and a half years, running an orphanage and a school. After I completed seminary last year, we knew we wanted to live overseas long term, but we were unsure where we felt drawn to go. Conversations with Nancy and Bob Martin, Mission Network alumni of many years who had been in Nazareth, guided us there, where we've had a wonderful year.
We've returned to the U.S. in time for this Pentecost season. In Acts 2, we read that at Pentecost, a crowd exclaimed, utterly amazed, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans?" This exclamation was actually familiar to us due to a strange choice of words on the Nazareth Village website, which claimed until recently that our experienced local guides will lead you. We are often greeted with amusement by the mainly Israeli Jewish tour leaders. Upon handing their tour groups to me, leaders often joke, "So David will be your local guide today?" No, I have to say, I'm not Galilean. At least I can confirm when occasionally pressed that yes, my name is actually David. At the Nazareth Village, we get the sense that the story of Pentecost is continuing. In a year, we give tours in 22 languages. We blend history, archaeological excavations, architectural replicas, scripture, and commentary on present-day Nazareth and its people, and we present this to guests on a guided tour. Sophie and I led almost 12,000 guests this year in English and Spanish on tours of the village. We loved the theological aspects of the tour and also made additions from our Anabaptist perspective. While a modest majority of the guests are from the global north, American, Scandinavian, or Dutch, many are Indian, Brazilian, Guatemalan. Our groups come from many churches, from Baptists to Haldimand Mennonites from Northern Ireland to non-denominational churches to the 1,900-year-old Syriac Church of India. 2,000 years ago, Jewish reformers speaking many tongues left Jerusalem. Today, at the village, a stream of people speaking many tongues comes back.
In addition to leading guests on tours at the village, I coordinated weekly Bible studies and chapels for our international volunteers along with us, and I also visited patients at the Nazareth Hospital with a team of local chaplains. This provided exciting chances to interact with patients as well as our fellow volunteers on a spiritual level. We were privileged to see God at work, and we want to tell you about how the many people we interacted with spoke to us not only with words, but with languages of faith. These people helped us to see new ways of encountering God, sensing the Spirit, and following Jesus. Testimony, pilgrimage, reverent speech, patient persistence, liturgy, and literalism were some of the languages of faith that we heard. We hope to find ways to continue noticing these in the future, and we hope you can too. We'll begin with testimony. We were honored this year to hear many talk about their lives of faith and how they have encountered Jesus. A major theme at the hospital this year was forgiveness. I appreciated hearing comments from our spiritual director on what forgiveness can mean in the Arab cultural context, particularly in relation to issues of land and peoplehood, but also religion. One striking example of testimony that David and I got to experience came from one of our local chaplains, Simone, a man from the nearby village of Rainey. The week before we arrived, Simone's young cousin Jonathan was brutally stabbed near his home and later died in the Nazareth Hospital. Jonathan was the only child of parents who had waited years for him to come. Yet after his death, they quickly became known, to the surprise of many in the area, for their choice to forgive his murderers. I heard the story the first week we arrived in Nazareth and several times since, and it struck me how often this story provides Simone with a chance to share with others in the community, especially at the hospital. In that cultural context, retributive justice is still common, and so Simone is regularly asked by patients, often Muslims, how can this kind of forgiveness be possible? This question provides him with a clear opening for sharing the gospel and Jesus' message of forgiveness. Of course, parts of this story may sound familiar to our community who know of Michael Sharp's murder in 2017, or of the story of the forgiveness of Amish parents whose children were killed at the Nickel Mine school shooting in 2006. Not only do these and Jonathan's parents' stories serve as testimony to the human capacity to forgive evils, more importantly, they serve as testimony to the redeeming work of Christ throughout the world.
Travel to the Holy Land offers many a chance to reflect on what God has done and is doing in a new place and consider how that might inform one's own life. This is pilgrimage. Travel to deepen faith tends to be far from modern Western minds. Many of those of us who can travel often for work, to visit family, for vacation. Going to deepen our faith is less usual. We had the privilege of seeing many people from all over the world and appreciating their excitement as they encountered this part of the world where the Christian faith had begun. For people from Christian and, of course, Muslim and Jewish backgrounds, a visit to the Holy Land is a period of intense prayer, of continuous learning, of reflection. It's amazing to see people prostrated on and kissing a stone in the Holy Sepulchre, or hear dozens of pilgrims singing as they walk up the Via Dolorosa, the route of Jesus' Passion. Entering the West Bank during Ramadan, I was crushed for about 2.5 hours in a crowd of Palestinian Muslim worshipers returning from prayer at the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the main Muslim holy site. Return entry to Bethlehem was an ordeal, with a massive crowd of people squeezing and pushing each other to squeeze through one or two revolving turnstiles. The chance to pray at their holy site meant a lot to them. It was not uncommon to see people experiencing a kind of pilgrim euphoria at the Nazareth village, too. Many of our visitors prayed, spoke, and worshiped in a different way than back home. Seeing excavated terraces where Jesus walked, a wine press where he likely treaded grapes, visitors are often visibly moved, emotionally and spiritually. Our village tour ends in a synagogue where we discuss Jesus' rejection of the warrior Messiah vision that his audience was hoping for in Luke 4. If there's extra time in the synagogue, sometimes groups have prayer and singing. One day, I saw firsthand how unusually pilgrim visitors can behave. I had a group of about 30 apparently ordinary Americans. After our tour, they asked if they could worship. I agreed, and they began singing. First a lovely hymn in four-part harmony, and then they had some call and response chanting. I'm going to ask you to join me in this CMC. Please chant after me. I don't remember all of their prayers. Most were ordinary, but I remember a few. They chanted, "Lord, bless this village. Lord, bless the city of Nazareth.
Lord, bless the city of Nazareth.
Lord, bless David's family.
Lord, bless David's family."
At this time, the leader of my group turned to me. He had occasionally broken up the chanting with some words, saying or asking something, and he asked me, "David, you said you were married. What's your wife's name, and do you have kids?" "Sophie," I said, "and not yet." Apparently in a way that sounded sad. He turned back to his group, resuming the chant, "Lord, bless Sophie.
Lord, bless Sophie.
And Lord, open Sophie's womb at the right time." And then, "And Lord, strengthen David's seed at the right time." I stared at the ground, reflecting I would never have an experience like this again.
The sincerity of reverent speech in Nazareth impressed and formed us. In the U.S. context, it's normal to hear people say things like, "Oh my God," or "Oh Lord," as part of our daily language. In this cultural setting, such language is rarely used to literally remind us of God, and it's often negative. In Nazareth, people would also use these same kinds of phrases, but to intentionally evoke thoughts of God. When asking a Muslim how they are, one might get the response, "Alhamdulillah," which means "praise be to God." A Christian might respond, "Nushkorala," "thanks be to God." In the Arab setting, these phrases are used and understood as a reference to the person's well-being coming from God. When you want to say that you hope something will come true or will go well, both Christians and Muslims say, "Inshallah," "God willing." Again, these phrases are literal faith language used many times a day with the effect of keeping the speaker and the one spoken to grounded in their human experience of worshiping the one who is all in all. Reverence is also evident in public communal celebrations. Israeli society is secular, primarily in the Jewish spheres, but increasingly in the Christian and Muslim Arab spheres as well. This hasn't stopped either faith from continuing to celebrate their most sacred yearly events. It was interesting and exciting for us to join in the Christmas and Holy Week and Easter celebrations in Nazareth. I was especially struck by how often huge crowds of believers gather in public spaces and main roads to celebrate together on these occasions. I became more aware of what it means to have grown up in a country where church and state are mostly separated. Singing Christmas carols in the three Nazareth hospitals wasn't something that required special permission. The hospitals are all Christian, but Christians and Muslims joined us alike in song that evening. Like the daily Muslim calls to prayer, this open proclamation of faith was not uncomfortable, even for those who have different beliefs. If we take faith in God seriously, we have something to learn from people who integrate this belief into daily life and practice.
I appreciated Alan Kreider's book, The Patient Ferment of the Early Church, and its inspiring perspective on how the church took root and grew despite a lack of power or a cultural foundation in most of the Roman Empire. Alan emphasizes patience and the willingness to endure stagnation, even decades of stagnation, and persecution for the sake of the gospel. The patience and persistence of Palestinians is extraordinary. "Existence is resistance," read signs in Bethlehem and Hebron. 70 years into the occupation, Palestinian prospects are bleaker than ever. International support for the occupation is strong. Both nonviolent Palestinian resistance and the occupation's critics in the West are cynically dismissed in the media as motivated by anti-Semitism. Most of the Arab world now actively works with Netanyahu, Israel's right-wing prime minister, cementing Israel's position. In this context, hope seems irrational, and to work for justice may well not bear fruit in our lifetimes. Yet so many Palestinians show the spirit of patient ferment. We think of the only Gazan that we met, a Christian who we met at a bus stop in Nazareth, who works for a Baptist hospital in Gaza. In better times, he met and married a woman from Nazareth. Now he is only allowed in to see her and their two daughters for 1 or 2 months each year. We think of Lap family friends from Bethlehem with a Palestinian father and American mother. The mother was never allowed in over 2 decades living there to have long-term residency in Palestine, and she was expelled last fall. Only after enormous effort and expenditure of about $20,000 to the Israeli Interior Ministry and international diplomatic intervention was she allowed to temporarily return 2 days before her son's wedding in Bethlehem last month. We think of taxi drivers and shopkeepers who eagerly showed us hospitality and told us their family stories, hoping they could get Americans to listen. The way people continue to show faith and to act out of love seems to us to be a sign of God at work and a sign of deep faith.
Liturgical experiences were something that David and I looked forward to in Nazareth, especially having grown up in Mennonite churches. While most of the other volunteers there attended the local Evangelical Baptist Church, we chose to attend the local Maronite Catholic Church. The Maronite Church is an Eastern Rite Catholic Church, which began around 400 CE with St. Maron and only became Catholic in the 1600s. This means the church has retained much of their earlier rites and traditions, like iconography. The image you see on the screen here is one of the stained glass windows at the Maronite Church, all of which depict stories from the New Testament. Although we attended there regularly, I also enjoyed visits to the Greek Orthodox Church across town, which provided a completely different experience of liturgical worship and tradition within the same Arab society and culture. One liturgical practice at the hospital is that our chaplains often cross themselves before and after prayer when meeting with Catholic patients. Although all the chaplains are Protestant, many of them engage with patients in this way to be hospitable to their needs in a vulnerable time. Another experience of liturgical language that I was aware of and adored during our time in Nazareth is a language of religious art. The liturgical churches are historically those most prone to having religious art in their sanctuary, in worship, and as a part of home life. In Nazareth, these churches include the Greek Orthodox, Roman Catholic, Melkite Catholic, and Maronite Catholic churches. Like the Maronites, the Melkite Church retains the iconography tradition that the Roman Catholics dropped early on. In these and the other major churches in Nazareth and elsewhere around the country, we got to see how religious art is used and taken very seriously as part of what it means to proclaim the Christian message in the Holy Land with or without words.
People in Nazareth read the Bible more literally than most of our Western peers, and we valued the chance to encounter this literalism. Coming from an intellectual Christian community, it refreshed us to see people who engage biblical stories very largely as recountings of real events. This does not mean that we, or most of those of us, or those around us, believe that everything in the Bible recounted happened literally as described. But among our Christian sisters and brothers in Nazareth, we sensed a deep belief that the Gospels are more or less accurate accounts, and this was refreshing. I think without a communal belief that the Gospels tell us a more or less true story, the Christian faith is unlikely to be passed on through generations or to neighbors. This feeling of the reality of the Bible was not limited to Christians either. Biblical stories are taught through the public education system, through faith-based institutions of all kinds, and heard in the local community as oral traditions. Sophie has speculated that it may be easier to believe these stories when you live in the places where they happened. Residents of Nazareth often took us to their roofs to point out villages where events in Jesus' life took place, or told us about what cliff they thought Jesus might have been taken to be thrown off in Luke 4. Our supervisor, Christine Farah, especially spoke this faith language of literalism. Christine, British, was educated as a human rights lawyer in Wales, where she met her Nazarene husband. She entirely shares our perspective on Israel-Palestine and politics in general. She is also a devout Christian. She emphatically asks visiting groups to pray for Nazareth. She prayed with us through some of the most difficult times with my dad's acute myeloid leukemia back home this year. Like many in Nazareth, Christine talks about Jesus' life growing up there not as a possibility, but as an event. Like Jesus himself, Christine also talks about the spiritual world, about the devil, as a reality, not as a concept, but as a being set against God. She lives in a world of imminent Christian faith.
We're looking forward to what comes next. During our time in Israel-Palestine, we felt deeply affirmed in our calls to ministry and are aware that we want to keep working at intersections with the Middle East. At this time, it's probably not possible to secure volunteer visas for long-term service in Israel-Palestine. Visas only last 1 year, and we could not know until a few weeks before the year's beginning if a new visa would even come through. We would very much like to return to Nazareth for both short-term visits and possibly another period of longer-term service when we would be more likely to receive a volunteer visa. But for now, we will instead transfer to begin a new term of service with Mennonite Mission Network in a small village in southwest Germany. In this setting, David will work with the German Mennonite Peace Committee, a counterpart to Christian peacemaker teams, and I will be working in a pastoral role with the local Mennonite congregation. We look forward to this new opportunity and are also excited to continue exploring interactions with Middle Easterners living as refugees and citizens in that area. As we continue to share about our work in Nazareth and look toward this new assignment, we are especially grateful for the many kinds of people and communities who made this past year such a wonderful experience for us. Thank you for the ways you have supported us this year, as well as Mennonite Mission Network and the Nazareth Trust, both causes dear to our hearts. Such support makes it possible for people like us to work there alongside the many amazing local staff and volunteers to further the work of the Kingdom of God in these many languages with which the Spirit gifts us. Thank you.
Thank you, Sophie and David. Let's sing in the green, sing this journey book. 63, Lord, you give the Great Commission. We'll sing verses 1, 4, and 5, and I invite you to stand.
Invite all of the youth and delegates from our congregation who are in Kansas City to come join me up here. So this past week, Mennonite Church USA gathered for our biannual convention in Kansas City, Missouri, and we've spent the week living with the verses from John 20, verses 19 to 22, following Jesus' resurrection when the disciples were scared and full of fear. And so they hid in a room, and suddenly Jesus was there. And Jesus breathed on them the peace of the Holy Spirit. So this year, as College Mennonite Church, we tried something a little different as we went to convention. We sent a unified delegation, is what we called it. So worship at convention and many other things made it possible where youth and adults could interact more together. So we took advantage of that. We did our preparation times before we left for convention together as delegates and youth. We traveled together as much as we could. We were in the same hotel. We ate our breakfast and our suppers and lunch occasionally together. We worshiped together. We had small group time together. So we've spent a lot of time together. And I think it worked. Yeah, it was good. It was very good. I'm going to let them share a little bit about what they experienced this week. So we'll start at this end, because some of the adults down here weren't quite ready yet. So so we're going to pass the mic down. I invite you to say your name. And this first time we pass the mic, say what you will remember from this week.
My name is Dory. I am the MYF youth sponsor. And I will remember being in a wheelchair the entire week, per the request of everyone, due to some health reasons I have, and every single one of them arguing over who got to push me each day, and just the love and the support of everyone that was willing to help me out through the week is very special.
My name is Malachi, and I will remember playing the role as Jesus Monday night on stage at convention in front of 3,000 people.
My name is Javon, and I will always remember that we had the joyful times together.
My name is Michael, and I will always remember the great people I got to meet as a delegate.
My name is Savannah, and I will remember the new connections and people that I met.
My name is Michaela, and something I will always remember is the energy of the worship services.
My name is Kent, and I will always remember the rain on July 4th.
My name is Sarah, and I will remember the singing and fun times during worship.
My name is Kent Beck, but I went by KB. I will remember being a delegate for the very first time at the age of 60. I'm a bit behind Michael.
My name is Phil, and I will always remember the rain on July 4th.
My name is Priya, and I will always remember Cormac trying to flip a hatchet into his arm and cutting his arm.
Oopsie. My name is Cormac, and I will remember the giant party that started at the front of every worship.
My name is Simon, my favorite ice cream is mint chip, and I will always remember all the great times we had, not just with this church, but in community with all the other Mennonite churches.
My name is Don Garber, and I will always remember, as Sarah would say, literally meeting Jesus in the hallway. I had met Jesus Cruz got to know him as a member of the board of directors of Mennonite Board of Education when I was working there. And he walked up to me with his badge, and it said on it, Jesus. So he said, glad to see you. It's been a long time.
My name is Bob Yoder. I will remember the seemed like special focus on the Holy Spirit in our teachings and our worship, and I also remember just the general good feeling of gathering with 3,000 other Mennonites in worship and just the whole week.
So, the second question then, which Bob kind of already started, so that's great, thank you, is where did we each see God throughout this past week?
At the time in our denomination, it truly was a great week. It truly was a great inspiring time of worship, And the last worship service in particular, I think, culminated a good hope for the future.
It has been a real privilege to be with the youth this week, and I saw many instances where God was at work, but one, especially after one worship service, after worship services, we usually gather together just to check in, and after one of the services, one of the youth was sharing some stress that he's experiencing, and after he shared, another youth spontaneously said, "We love you, and we've got your back," and God was at work.
I saw God in the just the excitement and joy that filled the room while we were singing. And it just feels so good to be with so many other people sharing those experiences, and especially through song. I really enjoyed that.
Similarly to Simon, I also connected a lot with the music that we sang in worship and the many celebrations that the youth did at the front of the worship.
I thought it was really powerful to see 3,000 people gathered together, like, for the same cause, and just especially when we sang the hymns, because a lot of it was like that newfangled music, and when we actually sang the hymns, it was all quiet, and it was really beautiful.
I saw God in the sharing of stories from other congregations and learning the ways that the Holy Spirit is at work across Mennonite Church USA.
I saw and felt God through attending and participating in the Mennonite Piano Concerto, not the concerto part, but a convention choir and hymn sing, and I can talk more about that in the next hour if we have that opportunity.
I saw God in all the little kids that I helped take care of during some of the sessions. So there was a group of us that volunteered to help out with kids who were there during the day, and I saw God there.
I saw God at work at the sermons each day because each of them were unique in their own special way.
I saw God on the very first night of worship because this was my first convention, and so everything was just really new and exciting to me.
So for those of you who don't know, I was in a crash earlier this year because of bad weather. So bad weather kind of really freaks me out. And on July 4th, we were driving back from Daniel's sister's house in very heavy downpour. Like, we were all from house to garage soaked by the time we got into the van. And Daniel got us home safely, so I saw God in that.
Being a youth delegate can be really isolating. A lot of the seminars and stuff you're supposed to be doing is at the same time as delegate meetings and stuff. So I came into this expecting to feel alone and away from the people I intended to fellowship with. But in my table community and the delegate community, I felt welcomed and I felt heard and I felt important. So I saw God in community and inclusion.
I saw God at 3,000 people. And I also saw God through music and by singing.
I also saw God through music and also the scriptures that have been shared.
I saw God in the sponsor meetings I attended. And one of them was a meeting for LGBTQIA+ members of groups. And it was headed towards mostly sponsors and adults. But that room was overflowing. They had to open the doors to let people sit outside. Everybody was on the floor. And that I saw God in the respect in the room, that the adults and the youth all shared what they had to say and is received with respect and love.
You are all invited to come to the fellowship hall after worship to hear more of our stories. There's a lot more that we will say. And in this month of July, we have a different Sunday, different option during the normal Sunday school hour, and we don't have regular Sunday school. So today, you can come hear more from us. So we'll share a couple songs that we learned at convention and share some more stories. And I'm excited to be able to share a little bit more about how we put this theme verse of Jesus breathing peace into the disciples, ways that I saw that as we worked at reconciliation together as a group in some good ways. So, yes, please come to the fellowship hall after you get your coffee, because we arrived at 2:15 last night. So I will get my coffee and I will meet you there. And to come hear more from this past week from both the youth and the delegates. Thank you all for your support in prayer and in finances, both in buying coffee, Menno's Best Coffee, our fundraiser, and just in other ways that you give to the church and its many ministries through the spending plan. You have heard the ways that we all have given time and energy over this last week, and now we transition to a time where we can do that ourselves in our offering here. So I invite you to bring your offering forward to the baskets and follow the offering. We will have our parent-child dedication. So children, you can come forward again during the offering and hang out down here for the parent-child dedication. And since this is also the first Sunday of the month, it's our birthday offering month, or Sunday. So if you have a birthday coming up in the month of July, please come forward and give your birthday offering as an expression of gratitude and receive a blessing. So please bring your offerings to God. Thank you.
Well, we get a double children's time today. If there's one thing I've learned as both a parent and a pastor, it's that flexibility is important. So we're so glad that Mark and Fern are here to dedicate Dakini Rose, who they welcomed into their family June 19th. So, children, did you know that Jesus was dedicated at the temple when he was a child? Yes. Well, a few special things happen when we dedicate a child and their parents in church. We give thanks to God, and so today we're giving thanks to God for Dakini Rose, because she is a precious gift to her family and to our church family. Dakini's parents, Mark and Fern, will offer her back to God, and they also ask God to help raise her. And they're committing to help Dakini grow in her relationship with God and Jesus. Did you know that your parents made a commitment like that for you too? Yes. 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 Another thing that happens when we have a parent-child dedication is that we make a promise to help Dakini as well. We promise to be partners with her family as Dakini grows up. We are promising to be a community of faith that helps her to grow in the love of God. And today we are promising to Mark and Fern that we will walk with them. And we made this promise to them when Bea was born, and now again with Dakini. And in a church family, we all help each other. And dedication is one of those times that we make these kinds of promises. We're going to say a litany together now, and I invite the congregation to join in this as it's printed in your bulletin. We recognize each child as a unique individual created in God's image. We rejoice with you today in the birth of your child, and we are thankful that you and your children are part of our church family. Mark and Fern, God has chosen you to nurture Dakini. You now hold her as a sacred trust from God. Do you accept the trust that God places in you for her care and nurture? And do you desire, with the help of God and the church, to be faithful Christian parents? We will support, by our example and words, your efforts to provide a loving, caring home where trust in God grows and Christ's way is chosen. We promise to remember you in our prayers and to surround you with our love support. Children, you are going to be the ones that Dakini watches as she grows. All of us here are going to be examples for her and role models, but you're going to be the big kids that she watches when she's here in Goshen and wants to be like. And she won't just be watching how you don't run in the hallways or don't trip people leaving worship. She'll be learning the way that you live out your faith and follow Jesus. Your kindness to each other and the way that you show God's love to Dakini, all of that will be important as she grows up to become a follower of Jesus. You are faith mentors. And I'm going to ask you some questions now. And I'm going to ask you to stand and come closer to her so you can see how beautiful she is. Come on. Great. I'm going to ask you a few questions. And if you You can answer, "We will," as they ask you these, if you feel ready to say that. Children, will you be good friends to Dakini?
Yes.
We will. Will you help Dakini when she needs help?
Yes.
Will you show Dakini the love of God and learn about God with her?
We will.
Okay. You are surrounded by a faith family who loves you and will be with you each step of the way as you parent Dakini. And through parenting, you will also grow in faith. We pray that the life and witness of each one of us, from these young ones all around here, will make your task of parenting both joyful and fulfilling. And if it's children, you can go ahead and have a seat. If it's okay for me to hold her for a moment. So precious. Dakini, you are a child of God, a precious child of God. You are cherished by your family, and you are loved and welcomed by your church family. Can you hear her? Emily, can you bring the blanket forward? Thank you. This blanket was made by a group of Mennonite women here. Dakini, we give you this blanket as a symbol of God's love. May you be blanketed in God's love. And may this also remind you and your parents that you are never alone. We love you and we cherish you. Dakini is joined by her family here, her grandparents, Joe and Anna Lehman, Fern's parents, and Mark's parents, Scott and Biram, and also brothers Ryan and Bea are part of their family. Let's sing together our blessing song, our welcoming song that we sang earlier. We'll sing it one time.
As we enter into our time of communion today, I invite you to take out your bulletin and join with me in the prayer of confession that is there, and then we will continue on through the communion liturgy. Please join me in this prayer of confession. Lord, you are the God of peace. For the times that we have tarnished your vision for this world, forgive us. You have called us to a way of love, loving you and loving our neighbor and loving your creation. For the times we have strayed, seeking our own version of justice instead of the one you have for us, forgive us. Help us, O God, to seek instead your justice and your loving kindness. Renew us. Refresh us and sustain us with the bread and the cup of salvation. In the name of Jesus Christ, and for the sake of the new creation, we pray. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and always right to give you thanks and praise, Lord God. In your goodness, you created all things and gave them life. And therefore, we join our voices with the saints, the past and present and to come, and all the company of heaven to praise your glorious name together. Sing the journey number 15. Let's sing. Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, you formed us in your image. You made a covenant with us to be our God. When we had turned aside from your way and abused your gifts, you gave us Jesus, your crowning gift. Emptying himself that our joy may be full, he fed the hungry, healed the afflicted, ate with the scorned and forgotten. He washed the disciples' feet and gave a holy meal as a pledge of his abiding presence. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivering us from sin and death and made a covenant by water and the Spirit. So in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves to you in praise as a living sacrifice. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, making us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in your ministry of peace to the world. Until Christ comes in final victory and we together feast at this heavenly banquet, we pray now as you taught us. Our Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The night before he died, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, Jesus gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, Almighty God, in this remembrance of the life and the death and the resurrection of your Son, we now celebrate the wonder of your grace, and we proclaim the mystery of faith, that Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. The people will come from the east and the west and the north and the south together at the table in the kingdom of God. This is the Lord's table. Come, taste and see the goodness of God given freely for you. All who are able are invited to come forward to the circle to partake in communion. Ushers will give direction from the back, inviting you to come down the two main aisles. If you'd like to receive communion and aren't able to, there are servers who will be going around, so just indicate to them and they will find you. And if you're in the balcony, ushers will direct you towards the servers there. For those of you not partaking in the bread and the cup, you are invited to come forward still and receive a blessing and a pretzel from me. So let us come to Christ's table. Thank you. join me in the prayer of thanksgiving that is printed in your bulletin. God of abundance, you have fed us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation. You have united us with Christ and one another, and made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love in the world and walk in the resurrection of Christ our Savior. Amen. Please take your purple Sing the Storybook and let's join in singing Let All Talents and Tongues Employ, 123.
123, please stand. Now, sharing the redeeming love of Christ in your language of faith. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen.